Phil fell to the floor in mid-sentence, his face pale and sweaty. Of all the terrible noises to be heard at the Lucky Smells Lumber Mill, this one was the most terrible by far. The thunderous stamp-ing sound had been cut off by a wrenching crash and a piercing shriek. The stamping machine had gone horribly wrong, and the huge flat stone had not been brought down where it was supposed to be brought down on the bundle of boards. Most of the stone had been brought down on the string machine, which was now hopelessly smashed, but part of it had been brought down on Phil's leg. Foreman Flacatono dropped his pots and ran over to the controls of the stamping machine, pushing the dazed Klaus aside. With a flip of the switch, he brought the stone up again, and everyone gathered around to see the damage. The cage part of the string machine was split open like an egg, and the string had become completely entwined and entangled. And I simply cannot describe the grotesque and unnerving sight. The words grotesque and unnerving here mean twisted, tangled, stained, and gory of poor Phil's leg. It made Violet's and Sunny's stomachs turn to gaze upon it, but Phil looked up and gave them a weak smile.
"Well," he said, "this isn't too bad. My left leg is broken, but at least I'm right-legged. That's pretty fortunate." "Gee," one of the other employees murmured. I thought he'd say something more along the lines of, "Ah, my leg! My leg!" "If someone could just help me get to my foot," Phil said, "I'm sure I bet I can get right back to work."
"Don't be ridiculous," Violet said. "You need to go to a hospital."
"Yes, Phil," another worker said. "We have those coupons from last month, 50% off a cast at the Ahab Memorial Hospital. Two of us'll chip in and get your leg all fixed up. I'll call for an ambulance right away."
Phil smiled. "That's very kind of you," he said.
"This is a disaster," Foreman Flacatono shouted. "This is the worst accident in the history of the lumber mill."
"No, no," Phil said. "It's fine. I've never liked my left leg so much anyway."
"Not your leg, you overgrown midget," Foreman Flacatono said impatiently. "The string machine. Those cost an inordinate amount of money."
"What does inordinate mean?" somebody asked. "It means many things," Klaus said suddenly, blinking. "It can mean irregular. It can mean immoderate. It can mean disorderly. But in the case of money, it is more likely to mean excessive. Foreman Flacatono means that the string machine costs a lot of money." The two Baudelaire sisters looked at one another and almost laughed in relief. "Klaus," Violet cried, "you're defining things." Klaus looked at his sisters and gave them a sleepy smile. "I guess I am," he said. "No, Jimu," Sunny shrieked, which meant something along the lines of, "You appear to be back to normal." And she was right. Klaus blinked again and then looked at the mess he had caused. "What happened here?" he asked, frowning. "Phil, what happened to your leg?"
"It's perfectly all right," Phil said, wincing in pain as he tried to move. "It's just a little sore."
"You mean you don't remember what happened?" Violet asked. "What happened when?" Klaus asked, frowning. "Why, look, I'm not wearing any shoes."
"Well, I certainly remember what happened," Foreman Flacatono shouted, pointing at Klaus. "You smashed our machine. I will tell Sir about this right away. You put a complete halt to the stamping process. Nobody will earn a single coupon today."
"That's not fair," Violet said. "It was an accident, and Klaus never should have been put in charge of that machine. He didn't know how to use it."
"Well, he'd better learn," Foreman Flacatono said. "Now pick up my pots, Klaus."
Klaus went over to pick up the pots, but halfway there, Foreman Flacatono stuck his foot out, playing the same trick he had played the previous day, and I'm sorry to tell you that it worked just as well. Again, Klaus fell right to the ground of the lumber mill, and again, his glasses fell off his face and skittered over to the bundle of boards. And worst of all, once again they became all twisted and cracked and hopelessly broken, like my friend Tatiana's sculptures. "My glasses," Klaus cried. "My glasses are broken again." Violet got a funny feeling in her stomach, all quivery and slithery, as if she had eaten snakes rather than gum during the lunch break. "Are you sure?" she asked Klaus. "Are you sure you can't wear them?" "I'm sure," Klaus said miserably, holding them up for Violet to see.
"Well, well, well," Foreman Flacatono said. "How careless of you. I guess you're due for another appointment with Dr. Orwell.
We don't want to bother him, Violet said quickly. If you give me some basic supplies, I'm sure I can build some glasses myself.
No, no, the foreman said, his surgical mask curling into a frown. You'd better leave optometry to the experts. Say goodbye to your brother.
Oh, no, Violet said, desperately. She thought again of the promise she made to her parents. We'll take him. Sonny and I will bring him to Dr. Orwell. Derek's, Sonny shrieked, which clearly meant something along the lines of, if we can't prevent him from going to Dr. Orwell, at least we can go with him.
Well, all right, said Foreman Fakutono, and his beady little eyes grew even darker than usual. That's a good idea, come to think of it. Why don't all three of you go see Dr. Orwell?